You'll find the scriptures tonight in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'll ask you to stand with us tonight as we read two verses of scripture before we pray. We want to read in verse number 20 of 1 Timothy chapter number 6. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, and all which some concern me. Thank you that you've allowed us the opportunity to be in your house this evening. And Father, we do pray that you would give us a little space of grace tonight. That God, you'd fill us with your Spirit and you'd preach through us by your power. Now, Lord, I realize that I'll do nothing and can do nothing except you energize me and give me the unction of the Spirit to stand and preach the oracles with a God-given ability. And Father, I realize that there's nothing tonight that I can lean on or trust in besides you. All other things would fail us this evening. I pray, God, you would take us just for a little while and teach us the Word of God. Help us that we might grow. And I pray, God, you would bless your servant this evening. For this we ask and pray for. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We gather tonight to worship the Lord Jesus, to learn more about Him, to ordain His man, His God-called man, Brother Alan Laws. We appreciate Brother Alan and his dear wife, Alyssa. We appreciate them so very much. His young son, Elijah, been with them many times, preached for him, with him. Him preaching here for us, with us, at us. Sometimes he's preached to us and we said, oh me. And sometimes we said, hey man. It's been good. And I have enjoyed hearing the man of God preach. In these verses, Brother Allen, and Bethel Baptist Church, and Heaven Bound Church, in these verses, God has having God's man Paul give instruction to a young preacher by the name of Timothy. As I studied last week or 2 weeks ago in Mississippi, I heard Brother Bagwell preach the differences between Titus and between Timothy. Yet both were God's men. And when we see this direction that Paul gives for young Timothy, we see that he makes the word, Brother Allen, he makes the words in this comment, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I could not get those verses out of my mind as we sat and began to pray about ordination for Brother Allen. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. What has been committed to our trust? Is it the Word of God? Well, we should keep the Word of God, but even if I don't, He still got the original copy. And whether I serve Him or whether I don't, it does not change His Word. So I do not believe he's necessarily telling me to guard the Word of God. Although I think we should uphold it, and we should undergird it, and it should undergird us, amen, and we should preach from it and preach nothing else but the Word of God. Yet when I look here, he says, I want you to keep that which is committed to thy trust. The word keep, meaning I want you to guard. I want you to beware. And I don't necessarily think that it's my job to always be standing up to try to defend and offend. God's going to take care of fact tonight. Forever, so I do think this. I think what he's saying to Timothy is, the Word of God has been committed to you, and the call of God has been placed upon your life. And I want you to be careful with the call of God that he's given to you, and that he's entrusted to you. I'm talking about a holy, a thrice holy God that has chosen this young man to preach the gospel and has stood before us on multiple occasions and has represented the heavenly country, even in a school system.
He has stood and been a blessing to each and every one of us. And His testimony and His witness and His character has been above and beyond any reproach or without any question. And I appreciate that so much about this young man. And God having entrusted him with this, I appreciate the very fact that He's called you to preach. But what God gave me from these verses is, He says, Brother Allen, there are men that may act certain ways. But for you, you're to be different. You're to be separate. And I thought about those words, but thou. You're to be different. Many times in the Scripture, as Paul was writing to Timothy, he would use those very thoughts, but thou. And I began to think and begin to study. And God began to give me something tonight to try to preach to you, Brother Allen, to try to charge you with, to try to bring a message to this whole church. You know what? God expects this church to be different than other men and other women. Or we should conduct ourselves differently. We should come out from amongst the world and be ye separate. That's what God has called us to be. And Brother Allen, you're not just any old regular preacher. Your preaching has got the stamp of God on it tonight. And I thank God for that. So we want to study tonight the words but thou. Some time ago, we preached a message on but God. In the times that was used as a reference point. But tonight we want a reference, but thou. I want you to turn back with me in this same chapter, chapter 6. And I want us to look at verse number 3. And it makes me think about the call of God. Brother Allen, God has placed a call upon your life. And He wants you to live your lifestyle, fulfilling a godly practice each and every day. Not just Sunday when you go to church. Not Wednesday night when you get up for a prayer meeting, but He's placed upon you a call to live a godly lifestyle amongst this old world in which we live, and to be an example to the church, and to be an example to the lost man as well. In verse number 3, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things." He's telling the man of God that's going to live with a godly call and demonstrate a godly practice of a lifestyle before all men. He says, "I want you, young man, to be different than this world, and I want you tonight to flee some things." He says, "I want you to flee false doctrine." There are some people that try to preach this book, but try to preach it that they might get something for themselves, that they might get gain. I'm sick and tired of turning on the TV and hearing the man of God supposedly stand up there and say, "To send your prayer cards to me and send me your money, and I'll pray for you." And I remember the one fellow that sent him so many cards that, man, he said he got sick, and he said he'd laid there amongst them cards, and the ink had absorbed into his body. He was there so long, and it poisoned him, and he had to go to the hospital, only to find out sometime later that he took off on a real lavish vacation with all the money that they'd sent him, and he took all their cards and dumped it in the back of a tractor trailer, headed off to the dumpster, and dumping it there in the middle of some trash dump. I want to say, we're living in a world and a society where men love to fool men and deceive others and preach things that they might get something out of it for themselves. And Brother Allen, Paul said to Timothy, "I want you to arise above that stuff. Don't chase after money. Don't be chasing after false doctrine. Don't go out trying to please people. Don't go out and try to get the rich folks in the community to come down to your church and give them a certain seat because you want to pad the pew a little bit further or to go a little deeper with the church bank accounts. He says, these are some things, Timothy, that I want you to flee from. He said back there in verse 5, He says, I want you to withdraw yourself from some of these things. Amen? There's some things, church, that we ought to flee from. We need to flee from false doctrine. And I say, glory, hallelujah, for the good old Word of God. Amen. But we ought to flee wanting to change it. Thank God for the good songs of Zion that we've heard tonight. We ought to flee wanting to change them and going to some new beat and rocking the house down and trying to get in a bigger crowd. That mess ain't never going to work, amen? And He wants us to flee these things. Nor does He say flee, but then He tells us to follow. Watch in verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. What are you supposed to follow? He says, I want you to follow right living. Hey, the only right living is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I want you to follow righteousness. I want you to follow godliness. I want you to live a godly lifestyle, whether you be teaching down there at the school, whether you be out on the ball field, whether you be out at the Walmart, whether you be in the house of God, whether you be in your front yard. He says, I want you to live yourself a godly lifestyle before your fellow men and before your God who sees it all. He says, I want you to follow after faith. Hey, what is faith? Hey, glory to God, it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. He wants us to have faith in God. The Bible says without faith in God, we cannot please the Father. Amen. He says, I want you to follow after love. Faith, hope, and charity. That's what He said. Faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity, which means love. He said, I want you to follow after love. Sometime I've had people chase me down and hem me up after service and say, I don't like how you did right there. It seems like you compromised a little bit. I think y'all took a bolder stand and I think y'all slapped them down and put them back in their place. I want to say this, if this church ever opposes me and comes against me and tries to knuckle me down, it'll be because I've erred on the side of love. I've decided to preach the truth in love. And to give everyone the benefit of a doubt. And to love my fellow man. Rather than just go out and try to make enemies for enemies' sake. He said, I want you to follow love and patience. Boy, I remember as a young man came to the church. Way far yonder back years ago when I first started preaching. He had real long hair. Man alive, we'd just come out of the prayer chamber back there with the fellow men and came out. And hear this fellow say it with longer hair. Than a man supposedly ought to have according to the Bible. And my fellow church members was kind of shunning towards him. And I went right over to him and shook his hand and told him my name and introduced myself. And he looked at me almost like he was wanting me to say something about his hair. He was about daring me to do something about it because he had probably done said, God, I'll go to church. But when they say something to me to offend me, I'm out of there. Well, somehow it just got in me to leave him alone and just to love him real good and to get up and preach to him a little bit later the love of God. Boy, he came out of the church doors after the service was over. I stood back there and he shook my hand and he just would not let it go. Man, it was something electrical, spiritually electrical going on right there. Would not let my hand go. Looked at me, tears running down his eyes. Oh, he come back to every service from then on. Just in a little bit he got saved, amen. Just in a little bit, he decided he'd get a new hairstyle, amen. I didn't go to him and say, I think now that you're saved, you need to clean yourself up. You need to do this, and you need to do that. No, you know what I figured out we ought to do? We ought to let God just take care of things. The Holy Ghost is big enough to tell somebody how they ought to live. The Holy Ghost is big enough to point it out to them. Let's just entrust it to Him. But you're going to get pressure from deacons. You're going to get pressure from church members that says, I don't like this, and I don't like how they did, and I don't appreciate how they did. And I want you to stand at the back door, and I want you to measure skirts, and I want you to make sure they're long enough, and I want you to throw people out. That's the kind of pressure you're going to get put on you. But I'm going to tell you, you be patient. You'll never clean a fish till you catch it. I don't care what kind of pressure. Hey, man, I'm preaching to my church. Y'all know how I... Amen. You know, some of you know the pressure you put on me. You go and question how somebody else does, and you'll treat me like I'm the one did it. And all the time I'm trying to live on God. Boy, I'm so glad that I got to do this tonight. Amen. All the time I've been trying to live a godly lifestyle, me and my wife and family before you, and trying to be an example. And yet, you put down and put down like I'm the one doing it. Let me tell you something. You just be patient. You follow God and God will bless you for it. Paul's writing to Timothy telling him just that. Amen. He says, you follow after righteousness. You follow after godliness. You follow after faith. You follow after love. Amen. You follow after patience. Glory, hallelujah. Follow after meekness. That means when someone's mistreated you, and it'll happen, you'll get mistreated. I mean, they'll slam them to kick you out the door. You're going to be, but just in a little bit, they'll call and say, you know, we've got some illness that's come to our family. You almost want to say, I wonder why. After the way you treated the man of God, I wonder why. Can you come? Would you come down here and pray? In the spirit of meekness, you go down there and say, oh God, would you help them? Would you restore them? Would you help them recover from their sickness? So y'all look at me funny like you don't like it. Hey, glory to God. Jonah didn't like it either, amen. He jumped off the ship. You'll get a whale ride back. It'll be okay. You hear me tonight, y'all? I want to tell you, there's time after time after time that people put pressure on things to happen and trying to get people to get off into their little old agenda and follow them. But I'm glad, amen, he said, I want you to follow meekness. What about Moses? Oh, they said, Moses, how come you get to do all the talking? And how come you get to do all the leading? We don't like the way you do things. We don't appreciate it. Well, you know what? That's why God called Moses and not them. Because God wanted it done a certain way. And God sent fiery serpents amongst the people. And much people died. God gave Moses a remedy. And there was a time when Moses' own sister, Miriam, questioned and said, I don't think it. You ought to be the leader all the time. God speaks to us. Just like He speaks to you, we're going to put you aside and we're going to step up. God called them all aside. He said, Moses and Miriam and Aaron, you come over here. Your father wants to talk to you three youngins. And old Miriam and Aaron said, yep, bless God. Moses is going to get what's coming to him. And God said, Aaron and Miriam, I want you to come a little closer. And when they draw a little closer, they said, he's going to get old Moses. He said, now listen, I've talked to my man Moses almost as face to face. I've given my power and my presence. He's the one I've called. I'll speak through who I want to speak through. You won't tell me who I'm going to speak to. You're not going to tell me how it needs to be done. I've chosen my man. I've called my man. And I'm telling you, he's the one that I want you to reference as the leader of this fold. Immediately the Bible says that Miriam was made as leprous as snow. Aaron saw it. Lord, have mercy! Moses, please! Forgive us for how we've treated you. Would you pray for your sister? A lot of preachers would have said, that's what you deserve. You did this, you acted that way, you deserve leprosy. Moses fell on his face immediately in a spirit of meekness and said, God, would you restore her health? Would you bless her? And we know that God said, I tell you what, she's going to be put out of the camp for 7 days. Nobody moved. Everybody stayed still because of her sin. Till she learns a valuable lesson. Then after the seventh day, I'm going to heal her and bring her back into the fold. I'll honor your prayer, but after she's punished a little bit. I'm telling you what, God wants us to follow after meekness. Amen. Hey, you know, somebody does you wrong, you're supposed to restore them in the spirit of meekness. That's what the man of God is supposed to follow. That's what the child of God is supposed to follow. No one does he say flee and follow, but then he says in verse 12, fight. Flee, follow, and fight. I'm not talking about a physical altercation. I've seen one preacher one time, his in-laws came before the church. The church said, listen, they split about three different churches that we know of, and we're not going to allow them to be members here because it'll split us. You know what the preacher did? He got a plant that had a rock in it and throwed it out there amongst the crowd. He said, I'm fighting the good fight. That's not it. He tells us to fight for something. Look what it is. The Bible says here, he says, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You hear me? There's church after church tonight. They're not contenders, they're pretenders. God has not called you into the business of pretending. He's called you into the business of contending, making a stand where God has called you. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after some of these things and stand and fight for some of these things. Well, we've said enough about the call of God. I get thinking about the conduct of the man of God. When I turn over here to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 8, the conduct of the man of God. You understand tonight why we must conduct ourselves as Christians? Because there is a godly presence that's with the man of God. There is a godly presence that's with the people of God. When you got saved, the Holy Ghost moved inside you. It made you different from the rest of this world. And God wants you to conduct yourself properly, for you now have a godly presence. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." You hear me tonight, Brother Allen? There will be opposition. There will be persecution. You already know that. You've gone through battle after battle after battle already, I am sure. But there will be great times of confrontation, and there will be much resistance. But verse number 10, Paul goes on to say, "But thou," you see there, "but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience." He said, "I've lived a Christian life before you." That's something tonight. He said, "I want you to make as an example." He said, "Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured." What persecutions, preacher? Well, there was a time when they let him out and they stoned him at Lystra. And they left him laying there, bleeding and bruised and battered. And they left him laying for dead. And they walked right off and left him there. But somehow, the man of God, Paul, got right up and shook off a good stoning. And rather than shake the dust off his feet and go to the next village, the Bible says he went right back into town. What do you think he did? I bet he got a big rock and throwed a few. No. I guarantee that he went back and began to preach to them the love of Jesus Christ to them. Paul said, "I used to be one of those hypocrites that would persecute and throw stones and arrest. But I'm telling you what, amen, since I met Jesus, things have been different. And now I preach the gospel of love to you." Glory, hallelujah. He was stoned and he was beaten with rods and persecution and affliction after affliction. Yet how did the man of God conduct himself? He conducted himself in perfect love. Hear me, verse number 11 at the end of the verse. He said, "You know what persecutions I endured? But out of them all, the Lord delivered me." Hallelujah. Know tonight that no matter what situation you get into, hallelujah, you conduct yourself. Sometimes they test you to see if you're going to practice what you preach and how you're going to conduct yourself. But out of every situation, Paul said, "He delivered me." Hey, people of God tonight, I don't care what the storm is. I don't care what the persecution is or the affliction. Our God will deliver you. While we're here in chapter 3, I want us to skip down to verse number 13. He makes this statement, and it makes me think about some continuance. He says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Some people use that verse, Brother Allen, to say, and what's the use? Men's going to get worse, and they're going to keep deceiving, then what's the use? Well, he says, verse number 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Hey, I want to say to you tonight, I want you to have some godly perseverance. I don't care how bad it may get. Paul says, Timothy, don't quit. I can take you to church after church tonight where the people of God quit on God. I can take you to men who were dynamo preachers at one point in time, but for whatever reason, they quit. They decided they'd rather have a new wife or to go back into the job market and just quit preaching and hang it up because it got too rough. There'll be hardships. There'll be persecutions. You're going to cry at night. You've done it many times. Your wife's going to hurt, and you're powerless to change what's going on. But I'm glad God said if you'll have some godly perseverance, evil men's going to wax worse and worse. They're going to deceive it. But you know what? You just continue on in what you've started in. I've committed something to you. I've trusted something to you, says God. And you just continue on with a godly perseverance. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this, church. Have some godly grit about you. Some godly grit. Continue on. Keep serving God anyhow, anyway. If gas goes over $4 a gallon, Brother McHenry, we're just going to keep serving God down here in Spruce Pond, North Carolina. Amen. Brother McHenry says, glory, hallelujah. We're going to serve God up here where we are too. Amen. And we're going to fight the good fight. We're going to serve the Lord no matter if it hair lips the devil or not. Have some godly grit. Amen. Let me go on. I'm trying to move quickly. Chapter 4, verse number 3. What about commitment? We've preached about the call, your conduct, continuance. What about commitment? Boy, we live in a world that I could feel it when I said the word right then, commitment. Oh, I hate that word commitment. Young men hate the word commitment. Young women hate the word commitment. Let's don't get married anymore. Let's shack up, live and do what we want to. We don't like commitment. Amen? We don't like to make commitment. We don't like to make commitments to God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. I don't know. If the mood strikes me, I might come. And if it don't strike me, I might not come. I'm not going to commit myself to read the Bible. I'm not going to commit myself to preach. I'm not going to commit myself to spend all my time studying that Word and commit myself. I mean, God's called me to preach. I just can't commit to that. You've committed to something. You've committed to a calling that God has given to you, and He committed something to you. He said, I've committed this into your trust. Will you commit to me? Sometime back, 2001, you said, I'll make a commitment. I'm going to surrender my life to preach the gospel. Many of you, children of God, you made a commitment when you got saved. Here's my life, Lord. Rescue it. Save me. Here it is, Lord. Take my life and use it for your glory. Only at some point in time later to say, no, I've changed my mind. I want some things back I don't want you to have control of. Look with me in verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's going to come a time, and it now is, that they don't want that King James Bible preached anymore. And they want old-time religion anymore. It's old-fashioned, been told by some missionaries, that you can't grow a church without some great big youth program. You can't grow a church without some new Bible and some different kind of music. You can't grow a church in 2008 going to an old-time King James Bible and preaching that book and standing on it, getting up there and sweating and spitting and getting up there and preaching the Word. It's just nobody cares anymore. Hey, I want to tell them, hey man, Paul said, you just continue on. The time's going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Guess what? Time's up. We're right in the middle of it right now. We don't want you to preach against living together. We don't want you to... Boy, there's just some things out of... I mean, you ought to just be politically correct. We don't want you to preach against homosexuality. We don't want... Well, we may pass a law that you can't preach against homosexuality. Go ahead. But the Word of God still says what it says. And we'll preach what it says. Well, he says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, they'll go to somebody out of your church. They'll go to somebody and say, let me tell you what, Brother Allen tried to preach to us the other day. I didn't like it too good. I want to see how you agree, how you line up. And they'll continue to find the right people. to find someone to agree with their point of view. It'll happen. And when it does, they may decide, well, we got a new church down here. And I don't like that old time way. We probably could do a little better getting somebody else. And they might put a little pressure. They're trying to get some different doctrine in there. And listen how quiet it gets. Heaven bound sitting here saying, we ain't doing that. Well, there ain't no way. But you hear me? Old devil might just try to send somebody in and infiltrate down there and start sowing some seeds of discord to raise up a little trouble in the midst of the church, to try to challenge the authority of the man of God and get you thrown out so they can heap to themselves the teacher having itching ears. You know what? You know what? I'm sure, I don't want to say this because I've been dying to say it a long time. I'm sure that there are folks at Bethel Baptist Church. This morning service was over what time? 12:30? Oh, 12:45? Whatever it was. Glory to God. You know what time I left? After 1.
Yep.
Where's you? You'd already left. I had locked up. You already gone. I'm still here at 1 o'clock. Glory to hallelujah.
Amen.
I was here. I was having myself a good old time. But I'm sure there's people here at the church that said, 12:30. I hate it. I'm sick and tired of that preacher preaching till after 12 o'clock. Now, I looked at my watch when I got up. Did y'all look? It was 5 to 12. And they want me to get her done in 5. It'd probably give me a raise if I'd let them go. At 12 o'clock, preach 5 minutes. Jesus loves you. Good day. God bless you. Woo! What a sermon. Best I ever heard. Man, I love her. But see, that's not what happened. We got in here, had to preach on storms. Had to sweat a while. Preach a little, amen. And the Spirit of God, whether you liked it or not, moved in spite of your attitude.
Amen.
And the day has come, and society says, I do not like a service that goes past 12 o'clock. J. Harold Smith told me, the first church he took, that he preached 45 minutes his first sermon. Sunday night, they said, we want to have a deacon's meeting. They called him into it. And they said, now, son, you sit down. We voted on you. And we felt, lad, that you was called of God to preach. And we're sure that you're supposed to be our pastor. We got to ask you a question. This 45-minute preaching stuff, what's that about? He said, well, I just preached what God gave me. And when I was done, I was done. They said, now listen, we expect you to preach an hour. And we want you, and you get that pulpit and have liberty to preach an hour if you want to. Don't you worry about time. They had a deacon's meeting. And told him I wasn't preaching long enough.
Hallelujah.
Lord of God. What a church. I wonder where it's at. But J. Harold Smith looked at me and said, the day will come and they'll give you a raise if you'll let them out a little earlier. Instead of preaching 45 minutes, preach about 15 and send them to the house. Alan, that man may come. I dare say there's some members of Bethel Baptist Church today that's grieved because the service went over and they're worried already about what next Sunday's going to be like. Hey, I hope the devil's worried about what next Sunday's going to be like. Oh, the devil's concerned about what's going to happen here tonight. Oh, the devil's worried about prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Amen. Already fretting, what are they going to do? They've done plan to have prayer meeting again. Hey, he says they're going to heap up teachers that's going to heap themselves and have itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. He says, but watch thou. What do you think he means by watch there? Be alert. Be aware. Watch what he says. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. He says, Timothy, I want you to endure whatever comes your way. If they decide at 12 o'clock they need to leave, glory to God. Just keep preaching.
Yeah.
Just follow God. No matter how I told them, another Sunday, I'm supposed to go meet my parents on our way to Mississippi. If there's ever a time I need to leave at 12 o'clock, it was that Sunday. So I got in the pulpit and said, y'all excuse me today. I need to leave at 12 o'clock. Hope he won't mind. But I stayed. We ended up being a hair late that day. And I was tickled to death to get to stay and be around the house of God. And the people, y'all are getting mad at me now, ain't you? I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching Brother Allen. He said, amen. I'm just going to keep on preaching, amen.
I want to read a verse of Scripture here. It's out of 2 Corinthians. Don't turn out of 1 Timothy. You can keep your hand there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You're going to be put under some godly pressure. The Bible's told us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Other men, Brother Allen, may do things differently. They may do it certain ways. But thou, God's called you to be different. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. He said, I've made a commitment to go down there to preach. And I made this commitment. And I've had, with outer fightings and with inner fears, I've got all kind of problems going on. But I've made a commitment to preach anyhow. Back over there in 2 Timothy, and I'm done. We've seen your call, your conduct, your continuance, your commitment. If you've noticed, I didn't point out all the qualifications of the man of God and all the different things he ought to be and have. And there's a reason I didn't do that tonight. God didn't tell me to. He said, this is what I was supposed to preach. Look with me there in chapter 4 again of 2 Timothy. Last of all, comfort. We've talked about a godly practice, a godly presence, a godly perseverance, some godly pressure. What about some godly preaching? That's what he called you to do. Preach. Don't y'all run him to death visiting this and visiting that. Ah, but it's fine for the preacher to go visit. But if he ain't preaching to y'all, you're in trouble. He says to Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He just wants you to preach the word, Brother Allen. I'm persuaded, I've heard you a number of times, you preach the word.
Amen.
If you didn't, I wouldn't waste my time going through this ordination service tonight. Heaven Bound Church could have got so mad at me because I wouldn't ordain the preacher. They could have been upset. It could have upset you and your wife, but it wouldn't have laid hands on you. Wouldn't even have this service. And we didn't think God called you to be the preacher that you are. I want to read one more verse. Over here in the book of Titus. Titus and Timothy are strongly tied together. And I'm done, I promise. Verse 16 of chapter 1 of the book of Titus. Verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Look at that next verse. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. A lot of preachers, in the face of that pressure, they'd cow down and not preach the book. They'd probably preach what's popular, make people try to feel a little better about it. My own family told me, I don't like coming to hear you preach because you make me feel uncomfortable with my lifestyle. It's high time we got made uncomfortable living in sin.
Amen.
If we're living in sin. But he says, speak thou. He said, preach the word. Instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. It's all long-suffering. Well, I want to ask you something. I want you to realize something. When you stand up to preach the word of God, you take the pulpit next time, I want you to realize something. I want you to realize that the people that you're getting ready to preach to, they've heard profanity all week, some of them. They've seen immoral sights all week long with their own eyes. They've been surrounded by dirty jokes within an earshot of their hearing. They've experienced physical pain. They've gone through all kind of problems. Some of them's haunted by doubt,
preacher.
Some of them's very nervous because they have a lot of unanswered prayers, or God said no to something they wanted real bad and they're really struggling. Some of them argued on the way to church with their spouse. Some of them's not even read their Bible all week long. They've not really prayed more than once or twice, even over a meal. And they come limping into here. Don't you remember this when you get up the pulpit? They come limping in from that situation they've lived in all week long. I see it every Sunday morning here at Bethel. They come in just like that, limping in to hear. To hear what? Do you think they come in here to hear a good tongue lashing? Do you really think they've come in here for me to rant and rave and scream and holler at them? You know, my daddy, before I was whipped at my home when I did wrong, he'd say, "Son, you go to your room." I'd put my head down. I'd go down the hall. And he'd come right behind me. And I'd veer into my room. And he'd say, "Shut the door." And I did. But he turned and went the other way into his room. I'd sit on my bed, Alan. Preacher, I'd sit on my bed. And I'd hear my daddy over there praying. "Oh, God." He'd start praying. And after he finished praying, I was hoping God would hear him and he'd change his mind. But after he finished praying, I could hear him as he come out and open that door and come across the hall. He'd say, now, DG, he said, "You know, you did wrong. And you know I love you. And I've got to whoop you. You know that." And he'd go there and pray so he didn't whoop me mad. I'm sick and tired of hearing about preachers who've got congregations that are hurting, that have come in to hear the Word of God but decided they was going to go up there and straighten everybody out and give them just a good old tongue lashing. I wonder, preacher, if they'd really went and prayed about before they got in the pulpit, if it had been just like that. Those people that come to hear you, they're not coming to hear some irrelevant message while the northern kingdom has divided from the southern kingdom. There's Jesus in every page, in every chapter, in every verse of this book. There's Jesus. Those people come limping in from that situation to be fed. They've come to be nourished. They've come to be loved on. They've come to be reassured. They've come to be lifted up. And they've come to want a knowledge of the Word of God. They've come to hear you preach because they believe that this is their only opportunity to get help from God, is to hear you preach. Brother Allen, you keep that which was committed to you, that which was entrusted to you. You realize when you get up and preach, you preach Jesus to them because they're counting on you to hear from heaven and encourage them. I'm not saying there's not some times we need to preach and we need to rebuke. And I'm not saying there's times of... And I'm going to tell you what, if you pray about it before you get up, it'll be a whole lot different. You keep that which... You know why? Because, "But thou, O man of God, but thou, man of God, you're to be different. I cut above. And I believe that about you." I believe Paul believed it about Timothy. And he tried to encourage him. Well, I'm going to ask you if you would come tonight. You have responsibility before God. I believe God would help you. I love you with all my heart. I've turned this pulpit over to him to preach numerous times. Not one time did I ever worry that he's going to come in here and try to hurt us, try to preach something that'd tear us down. But he always come in here to feed us and nourish us and help us. You stay that way. If you'd bow right here. I want to ask all the elders of the church, you ordained preachers and ordained deacons, if you would, I want you to slip right over this area, right over here. You come on. The Bible teaches us that we're to lay our hands on man of God. Brother Allen, as we do that tonight, I want you to know I'm honored to have an opportunity to put my old sinful hand on you. I'm honored. And I'm humbled. Very humbled. I told you a few minutes ago before the ordination council that voted 100% to do this tonight. I told you that I've got more confidence in you than I've got in my own self. I really mean that. I mean that. And I love you from the depths of my heart. I appreciate you. And as these men come and lay their hands on the man of God, and I'm going to ask you if you'd come and do it in groups of five tonight. Just a few different groups in groups of five. But we're not empowering him to do anything. He's already empowered God. We're coming to lay our hands on him to say, we agree with your call. We agree with your stand. And we're just little old partners with you. We're just partners with you in service to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm glad we're working in the same field. And that field belongs to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. As they lay hands on Him and pray, I'm going to ask you, you went right where you are. You just bow your head. Breathe a prayer. Say a prayer for the man of God.